So I've got here, I've got Goosebumps. So this is a book that, or a series that was challenged in 1995 by a parent group in Halifax. It was challenged for lack of parental authority. So this is just, you know, a common series that we grew up with, kids still enjoy now, that parents wanted removed from the schools. And then I've got Milk and Honey by Rupi Kaur, one of my favorite books of poetry, feminist poetry. This is one of the top challenged books in the United States for content that includes race, history, and sexual violence. So it was asked to be removed from U.S. public schools. She's an absolutely brilliant poet. Then we've got, I'm holding Jacob's New Dress here. So this is a beautiful picture book about a little boy who doesn't quite fit into gender norms, and he just wants to wear a dress to school. And then his mom makes him a dress, and he feels so happy to just be who he is. So this was banned in the United States in lots of school districts because it was called a tool of indoctrination to normalize trans behavior.
So the first book I have is The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz, and it's a personal favorite of mine. It's a hilarious book about an enterprising young man who's just trying to get ahead. It's by a really iconic Canadian author called Mordecai Richler, and it was banned for offensive language and sexual content. And my understanding at one time is it used to be on the high school reading list in Ontario, but it has since been removed. The next book I have is a children's classic by Roald Dahl called The Witches. So this was banned for stereotyping women, devaluing the life of children, and for depictions of witchcraft. And then the next two books I have are both classics that were banned for the same reasons. So I have The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger and Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. And they were both banned for criticism of government and authority, profanity, and the inclusion of themes like sex, drugs, and violence.
That was Liz Coates and Olivia Camphorst, staff at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, going through just a few of the books in their collection that have been challenged by individuals or groups seeking to have them removed from libraries or classrooms. KFPL is putting titles like these front and center in recognition of Freedom to Read Week. Freedom to Read Week is a national annual event to promote awareness around censorship and reflect on the value of intellectual freedom. Chief Librarian Laura Carter sat down with CFRC to discuss Freedom to Read Week at KFPL.
I was wondering if you could just speak to the importance of KFPL participating in this week.
Absolutely. So intellectual freedom is actually one of the seven values of the library in our sort of strategic directions and our mission, vision, and values. So we talk about it as supporting the open exchange of information and ideas. And that doesn't really get to like why it's super important generally, which is basically, in a nutshell, the foundation of democracy, if I want to sort of really like talk big. So when we talk about intellectual freedom, it's the right of every individual to seek and receive information from all points of view without restriction. So this allows people to form their own ideas, opinions, and question the world around them. So if, as a kid, someone says, no, this is not appropriate for you, this could be harmful, you may stay only in this little box, then they're only able to form ideas, opinions, get information from what is predetermined that someone, perhaps a government, perhaps a school board, perhaps a particular person, other than their parent, obviously that's sort of their job, says is okay for them.
Mm-hmm. And what are we considering under the umbrella of banned books here?
So what we're looking at in terms of the titles that we're really promoting for Freedom to Read Week and our Readathon, which is coming up on Friday, we're looking at books that have been, sometimes they're called challenged in the library world in North America, sort of over the last, 50-ish years. I mean, we do go back farther, but it's also sort of what we have to put on display. And what that looks like in libraries usually is someone might come to the desk and say, I don't like this book. It's not appropriate for children, youth, anybody, and they ask that it be removed, labeled, or moved to another section, so only adults can access it. So that we do keep a list of all banned or challenged books in Ontario, actually in Canada, from the Centre of Free Expression. So you can go and search all the libraries and see what has been objected to, why, and then what the library ultimately did about it. I mean, in other countries and other places in the world, when we're talking about banned or censored books, we are really talking about books that are not available to people anymore. So in states like Idaho and Florida, for example, they've passed legislation that actually can criminalize teachers or librarians if there are books that are harmful to children or depict any sort of sexual, imagery or anything. And that isn't just, what people might think of as romance or sex scenes, but that actually goes to educational content about bodies or sexual identity, sexual expression, sexual orientation, any mention of that. And now we're seeing with Trump, of course, any mention even of gender at all being censored and removed.
And have we had books here at KFPL be challenged, or have you otherwise heard that banning books rhetoric in our community at all?
Absolutely. Usually it does tend to be children or teen materials that get challenged, where people think that the content does not align with their own personal beliefs and therefore should not be available to others.
Carter also described some of the specific challenges KFPL has faced.
And I guess I would say, too, we typically think about censorship and book challenges really when it comes to the collection. We also have had objections to programs that we've offered. So we have offered over several years drag queen story times, typically during Pride, but not always. And we haven't had any outright protests in person, which other libraries in Ontario have had, but we have had sort of comments where people have said, oh, we should go and disrupt this program, or I can't believe you're doing this, it's so inappropriate, those sorts of things. It tends to be LGBTQ plus books that people object to as being not appropriate for their children. We did have a sort of one on the other side, which was new for us, where we have a book called Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze That's Seducing Our Daughters. And so this one was a few years ago, and we did receive a record number for us of requests for reconsideration for this title. And so we did end up keeping it in the collection. So the complaint was that it was transphobic, that it was harmful, that it was hate speech. And that was the first time I'd personally had a situation where I had to defend a book that I personally didn't agree with. And it was really interesting to go through and sort of be on that sort of other side where I, and the values of the library in terms of making sure everybody's welcome and diversity and inclusion. And we do a lot in terms of book lists for Pride and trying to make sure everybody sees themselves in the library. We had quite a number of people who said, hey, this book, for various reasons, is harmful. And so we did keep it in the collection. So again, reading it, it was an opinion piece, an American, conservative, but Wall Street Journal published author. The book had, won some awards or been shortlisted by The Economist. And so we follow the same process for every item, no matter sort of what the subject is or what our personal opinions are, because that is a very dangerous sort of place to come from. And what I think we're seeing in the world is, I don't think you should have access to this material, or this doesn't align with my beliefs, and therefore no one should have access to it. And so that was the first time where that was really tested. That was also the first time we've seen a little bit more of a campaign in terms of a request for book banning or censorship. So we received approximately 30 of the forms that people filled out. We do ask people if they've read the work in the entirety when they fill those out. And none of them had. So some of them had sort of read passages or chapters, but nobody had actually read it in their entirety. And that's quite common with these challenges. But there was a little bit of a sort of a social media campaign saying, hey, this library has it, and other libraries across Canada also had challenges to this particular title, and you should write and complain it and let the library know that this isn't appropriate. And so we're starting to see more and more of those sorts of campaigns, typically on the other side where people are looking to ban 2SLGBTQ plus books, but that they're very organized, and they're very, you know, they have, you know, they're looking basically through library catalogs where you can see all the libraries in North America, their holdings, and then it's easy to send everybody the same email or fill out their form.
KFPL is encouraging readers to dive into this topic with a banned book reading challenge this month and a banned book readathon on Friday.
It's really an opportunity to engage with some of the ideas that are being challenged. So it's one thing to say, oh, you know, here's, you know, Handmaid's Tale is a pretty famous one that has been challenged, or 1984. But actually going and reading those works and engaging with them and understanding, you know, where the complaints are coming from, and I think an opportunity to reflect on how important it is that we safeguard people's freedom of expression, the freedom of the press, and you know, their right to engage with materials. So it's easy, you know, to sort of sit here and say, oh yeah, all these books have been challenged and we still have them on the shelves, but when it actually comes time where you end up with legislation or a lawsuit to say, hey, you have, you know, you are harming children, or you can't have these books in your library, then everybody's sort of like, whoa, what, you know, what's going on here? But we, you know, I think particularly what we're seeing politically around the world right now, I think when we get complacent, then we're in a dangerous position. So we really want to remind people how important it is to safeguard these rights, even if we think that, you know, oh, that's not a worry in Canada. Of course we have, you know, freedom of expression, and yeah, of course we can read or engage with any idea we want to. I think particularly in a university context where you do have quite a lot of academic freedom and freedom of expression.
Mm-hmm. And you're finishing off the week with the Readathon, which mm-hmm. is an event that's coming back after a long hiatus. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could speak a bit about that.
So on Friday, February 28th, between 10 and 4, in partnership, I should say, with the Queen's University Libraries, the St. Lawrence College Libraries, and RMC's Massey Library, we are hosting a Freedom to Readathon. So we've invited people throughout the community, you know, library staff, politicians, community leaders, some members of the media to come and read from books that have been challenged or banned, largely in North America, but we've also left it open for people to choose their own books if they want to, if there's something that's close to their heart. So people will be reading basically nonstop between 10 and 4 at the Central Library right on the main floor. Again, drawing public attention to the issue of intellectual freedom and censorship. And a lot of these books are very good books, too. So it's also an opportunity maybe for people to discover books that they might want to read.
Notable guests at KFPL's Readathon will include Mayor Brian Patterson, drag queen Rowena Way, and City Councillor Brandon Tozzo. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.